Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
I'm Steven.
We like board games.
And beer.
We decided to pair them. We think you should too. Welcome to
Table Hops.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Table Hops.
Hello. Here we are again.
What's with your queen wave?
Queen wave? Mm-hmm. Oh, this? No, this is yeah. This is the virtual teaching wave. This is the queen wave.
You're a professional at that now, right?
I am. I've learned how to do the thumbs up, thumbs down. I do that too, and your shit's too loud. Those are the hand signs for virtual
teaching. So many sounds for virtual learning. Oh. Or so many signs.
Yep.
Sorry, not sounds.
So
I mean, sounds too.
Like, you know how Zoom has emotes? Like, you can do a little, like, raise your hand or thumbs up or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
The kids have no idea. So I'm like, do you guys know how to use the thumbs up emote? They're like, yeah, it's like this with our thumbs.
Well, to be fair, I work with, you know, 40-year-old people who don't know how to use Zoom.
That's fair.
And don't know that there are emotes in Zoom.
Mm-hmm. So I just turned them all off because my third graders were giving me the coffee icon saying they needed a break.
Are your third graders drinking coffee?
No, but that's the icon for break.
Also, how long are your kids in music where they need a break? Is it like more than 10 minutes?
They just signed in. I admitted them and the first thing they said was, I need a break.
Have you had any like weird experiences yet?
So I do have these things called pods. I didn't know about these things growing up, but they're like when you are like, if you're working from home, then you have the neighbor's kids come and they all school work together, you know? So they're all sitting around the kitchen table, all logged into their individual Zooms. And so when I had somebody ask a question, I didn't know that was the case. So when they answered, it was just this horrendous torrential feedback because they're sitting right next to everyone and everyone's just like, yeah. So yeah.
So is it like one parent is like watching the kids for the day or whatever?
I guess. I don't know how that works because that's just not how it was when I was a kid.
Interesting.
I know. It's new things.
Are they talking about, I think you had mentioned a few weeks ago, they were talking about like maybe going back in?
So we got our official statement today, and the way it's going is technically we're in the yellow zone, so we're slated to come back on September 22nd. However, looking through the positions that have not been filled yet, they realize that they don't have enough staff to go back in person. So we got pushed to October 6th.
Now the real question is, can they get those people hired?
No. Because I think as soon as they get one in, someone else is going to quit because some people are on their wits' end.
Right. I bet. And it's only been, what, 2 days?
This was day 3. Don't cut us short, Steve.
Oh. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, cool. What are you drinking this evening?
Today, because I need to fit in my suit for the wedding I'm going to this weekend, I have Terrapin's Recreation Ale. They're low-calorie IPA. I've never had it. I hope it doesn't suck.
Is that just because it was in your fridge?
No, for my birthday, someone got me a Terrapin mix pack, and so this was one in there, and I'm like, well, I'll start with the lightest.
Right, so it was in the fridge. You didn't. What I was getting at is that you didn't go out and seek out that beer.
No, I did not. If I was going to go with one, it would probably be Easy Jack. But who knows? Maybe this one will be my new fave. I doubt it. It's coming out like...
I've had the Dogfish Head one before, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, what's that one called? Oh, I know what you're talking about. It has like a teal kind of colored can.
Yeah, it's white.
Yeah, that one. I didn't like that one.
It was okay. I mean, you know, it's if you go in not expecting much, it's you know.
Right.
It's better than a Bud Light.
I'll tell you that, but it's much more expensive.
I'm drinking the newest surround sound from Collective Arts. This one has Azaka, Amarillo, and Comet.
Oh, very nice. I've had a bunch of really good beers recently. When I went out to the mountains, I had the Hop Duster from Blue Mountain. That one's very good. Very tasty brew there.
Okay.
That's double IPA. I forgot what kind of hops it has on it. I also had some stuff from Apocalypse because I went out there, as well as Three River and Star Hill Brewing. All their stuff's really good. Red Reviver, can't get enough right. of that. I've mentioned that before. And then I guess the last brewery I went to was Ooselfinch. I went there on the way back from somewhere because you were mentioning it, and I'm like, I haven't been there in a long time. So I had stuff for there I normally don't have. I had their Crazy Pants, which is they called it a Berliner Weiss at the brewery, but online it says it's tangerine basil sorbet. That sounds like a lot of words. It was good. It's not something I would probably order again because it's not my style. But the Lady in White there was really good. Their Hefeweizen. That one's awesome.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Big fan.
I like that a lot.
My favorite beer of the week for sure has been that Feed Me a Stray Cat, that Fat Orange collab. That thing was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that was super good.
Yeah, really super good.
I had that when we went on our trip. What was that beer that we had together?
Whew. Which beer was
it? For game day?
Yeah. It was a Droit. It was a Droit Theory, and it was their black IPA.
Right.
And I forgot what it was called, but it was really good.
Not Dead and Gone.
No, it's not that one.
Invisible Art.
That was it. Yeah, that one was frigging awesome.
Because it looks like...
The Tool album.
Tool art.
Yeah, it looks like the Anima cover. For sure. That one is probably one of the best beers I've had in quite a while.
Oh, I don't think we looked at this. Did we look at this? It was food. Poached beef medallions with caramelized fennel.
Ooh. I think this is just a list of things I can't afford. What's a La Fior Dominica something chisel? It's a cigar.
It's good.
Mosaic, Sriracha Ace, and sesame seeds for an umami experience. Interesting. Whatever they did to it, I liked what it did to my mouth. Big fan.
Lemon, pine, and stone fruit. That was good. That was a good beer. Was that the only beer
sorry to interrupt. You know what's interesting is... Well, we had other ones too, but I'm looking at the Invisible Art on your screen, and that one is Ghost Number 590, and the one I'm looking at online is the 875. So there's probably like different varieties of this.
Oh, God. Well, we'll never know. We will never know.
Never know. Whatever it was good. I guess we got to like write down that number.
Yeah, it's less about the name of the beer and more about the number.
Right, exactly. So, did you enjoy your trip?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was I got cut a little bit short, but still got to play a bunch of games and drink a lot of beer. I did have the unicorn farts, the sparkly sour from Dewclaw. Mm-hmm.
Edible glitter, is it that one with the edible glitter?
Yeah, edible glitter. So it's a collab between them and I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a local donut place.
Okay.
That apparently makes like a Fruity Pebbles donut.
Ooh.
And it tasted like Fruity Pebbles and like a little yeasty. And I think that was the donuts.
Yep.
It was very sour.
Okay.
Like overly sour and not in a good way. It was just like tart to be tart.
Okay.
If that
was it artificial tasting?
I don't know if I'd call it artificial. It didn't have like a good barrel taste. It literally just tasted like someone made tart sugar, if that makes sense.
Okay.
The glitter in it was barely visible.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. Because they didn't change the base color. So the color of the beer was still golden.
Right.
And the glitter inside of it was also golden. So you could see it in like the right light, but you couldn't see it normally.
Ooh, yeah, that's disappointing. I'm looking at that, and it just looks like a little dribble of a beer or a urine sample. I can't tell. But
it's both.
It's both.
It was, I'm glad I had it, but it is not something that I would pick up again.
That's fair. Speaking of...
I do have another can of it, so I guess I'll have to drink it at some point.
Yeah, you're going
to
have to.
You can see...
Oh, I see a little
here,
bit there.
Like, they had to like...
Speaking of donuts, I really want to hunt down that Dunkin' Donuts beer pack. That actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks decent.
I just don't know where I'd pick it up from. I got to hunt it down.
Yeah, I would drink that. I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would do like a whole pack of it though.
But the one I saw was a mixed pack of four different types of bias. They had the coffee stout, which is normal, and then they had they had the
jelly donut IPA, a Boston cream.
Yeah, that one was the one I was most excited about. Pumpkin, of course. Apparently, the jelly donut one sounds weird, but it's more akin to like a fruity IPA, is what they're saying.
Oh, interesting.
So I can kind of see that happening.
That's interesting. I wouldn't expect that.
Yeah, I mean, because they had an interview on some news thing with the brewer of who's the guys who do it? Harpoon. And he's like, yeah, because they're in Boston as well, and they're like, we need to do something super Boston-y. And he's like, so at first when the guys at the brewery like showed me their samples, I thought it would be strange, but it just tasted like a sort of a fruit forward IPA. So I would like to try it. I want to get that mix pack. I hope it's not a Boston only thing.
Does it come with donuts?
Oh, it should, right? It totally should.
Right.
So I had a beer recently, and if you're on tap still, you can probably look it up. It was called a Heather Ale, right? The Ren Faire by D9. And I read the back, and it described itself as, you know, an ale with heather and sweetened with honey. Sounds pretty standard.
Sure.
And I read the description from some people that have tagged it, and they said, you know, malt forward, rich, that kind of stuff. When I opened the can and poured it, it was very pale and exceptionally sour.
Oh.
So I think it was a mislabel. It didn't taste like anything like they were saying online or on the label. Disappointing.
Weird.
But, you know, it happens.
Sinjano, what game did you hear about that you're going to play at Thanksgiving? Is it a party game? Is it Cards Against Humanity?
Oh, no.
Chris's favorite game.
My favorite.
Monster Slaughter. Okay. That's not... No, I'm thinking of Boss Monster.
Right.
Monster Slaughter.
Monster Slaughter, I don't think I've heard of. Ooh.
You know Monster Slaughter.
I don't think I've seen that one. It looks pretty cool.
It's a horror movie game.
Okay.
It did look cool. It's gotten a lot of good reviews. I think it's at like, 7.4.
Okay. Horrified was the one I was thinking of.
What were you thinking?
Horrified, but I haven't seen this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This one?
I have played that one, and I did enjoy
it. You did like that one? Does this have a 3D board? Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, it's a 3D board.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like a little like 3D house action. Big Cabin in the Woods vibes.
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah, for sure.
That does look pretty fun.
Although, what cabin in the woods are you going to that has a pool table?
That's very fair. And that, yeah.
Oh, it's got minis? Okay. Hmm. But cardboard, like, resource tokens? What?
You know, this doesn't look like a party game, but I guess it's like a gamer party game kind of deal, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
This does look like right up my alley.
You have to tell us how it is, Sinjin. You know, with the different monsters. Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested to know how it plays. Oh, okay, it looks like there was like a deluxe upgrade that lets you get the miniatures. You pick families of monsters and try to kill the teenagers. Oh, well, that sounds fun, actually. Tactical game inspired by horror movie classics where each player takes control of a family of three monsters, father, mother, and child, each with their own stats and family power. Their objective is to scour the cabin looking for five guests, finding their hiding spot and take care of them.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm down.
Each victim hides in a pile of cards that the monsters must search through to find them, gathering items and traps as they do. Oh, okay. So it's like Hogwarts battle.
Oh.
It's like reverse Hogwarts
battle. Oh, okay. I haven't played that one yet. Is that the same one that's like the Toy Story thing? Is that the same one that does the Toy Story? Yeah.
There are a lot of special minifigs, Men in Black, Crocodile Dundee, X-Files characters. That's pretty sweet.
Crocodile Dundee.
Well, it was a Kickstarter, so that makes sense.
Crocodile Dundee seems like the odd one out of those three.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does. The miniatures do look good.
I like the claymation, I guess, kind of style of them. I guess they're kind of cartoony.
Just how they're like not like super sharp. Yeah.
Well, they kind of look like they have like cartoon exaggerations to them.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Yeah, the Crocodile Dundee does seem weird. Seeing people paint them and it looks great. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think any game painted just takes it to the next level.
Yeah. See what I mean? Or
yeah, it's kind of like
Hotel Transylvania, kind of.
Yeah. It's kind of like that loose animated, like early 2000s style.
I like it. I was worried at first because I didn't know what was hanging between Frankenstein right there. Now I kind of make out the details.
TOS, yeah.
That's the daddy right there for sure.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. Yeah, this looks sweet. It does. I mean, I think you hit it on the head, right? Like it's the party game for gamers. Mm-hmm.
I would totally be down to check this out for sure.
That's cool. Yeah, Sinjin, let us know how you enjoy it once you play it. So speaking of games, I guess, getting right into that, we played a bunch of games for game day.
We started with Rurik, right? That was our first game.
Yeah, we did play Rurik.
I like that game a lot. That game was fun.
So Chris, it was your first time playing Rurik.
Mm-hmm.
Rurik, Dawn of Kiev, which is currently on Kickstarter for the reprint and the expansion.
Oh.
The expansion is called Stone and Blade, I think. And it's just going to make the game even better, apparently. Oh. So, Chris, this is your first time playing it. What'd you think?
I liked it a bunch. It's one of those games that is pretty, it's pretty simple to pick up. But I think the big tricky thing about this game is the way the turn order goes when you have to place your little, I don't remember what they're called, but your little bishop buddies that have to determine your order of action. So it's a weird balance of like, do I want to go first and possibly get the weaker action, or do I want to hold out to the end and do the stronger version of it? So it's a tricky balancing act.
Yeah, so it's power versus initiative, and there's a little bit of a bidding game that happens when you there's six different actions to select from, and you have various, they're called advisors. But bishops works as well. and they're numbered. They're numbered 1 through 5. And that is both their power and their initiative. And so as you place them, more power gets you higher up on the action track. And initiative makes you use that action first. Or, you know, a lower number will make you use that action first. The cool thing that you can do, though, is you can upgrade a bishop or an advisor's power by paying coins to them, by bribing them. And that will artificially increase their power, but not increase their initiative. And I think that's what you're talking about with like the funky turn order.
Yeah.
Where you end up like, I know I need to muster before I move, but I need to muster at least this many people or else it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. And so it's that balancing act there. For sure.
And I've also been messed by you outbidding me in certain ones where it moves my marker down, and so it mm-hmm. arranges my turn order in the non-ideal way. So I end up like, right, oh, exactly. I can't do that anymore. It screws up my plans, which I like.
Right, exactly. We also played this at Cabin Con and got the same answer of enjoyed it, wish I understood the action selection better. Would play again now knowing mm-hmm. like how that works.
It's definitely something you have to experience, and then you can be like, okay, cool, I get it, let's try again.
I've now played this game at 2, 3, and 4 players. I enjoy it at every player count. 3 is probably my least favorite, just because you end up with extra actions on the board.
Okay.
At the last round, so there's not as much of that, like there's not as much like tension.
Okay.
Right, when you're placing your advisors,
because there's still room.
In 4 players, you're filling up the entire sheet.
I see.
It really feels like I need to get, you know, this action or this action. The board, the area control version, you know, or the area control aspect feels great because the map slowly grows as you add people. And I do think that in 2 player, there's more focus on region control. And on 3 and 4 player, there's more focus on adjacency and goods.
Okay. I can see that happening.
There weren't a lot of battling in our 4 player. And I don't know if that's just because of the players or if that's like part of the game. I felt like in our game, we battled a decent
quite amount. A bit, especially towards the end.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So super good. This is easily in my top 5 games. I like it. The expansion is going to be adding some additional things, some new building types, some things that... When you get to the last round, it's kind of like you feel like you're throwing some of your actions away, I feel like.
Okay.
So it's going to add additional ways to, like, instead of just losing an action, get a coin, you'll be able to use that action to do something else. Like, you might be able to lose the action and pay a certain resource to get something out of it.
Ah.
So it doesn't feel as bad.
That's pretty cool.
And then it's going to be modular as well. So you'll pick which expansions you want to add and throw them all together. Kind of similar to like the Cities of Splendor,
right?
How they did that.
Did you say one expansion is coming out, or are multiple ones?
So it's one box, but there's going to be multiple modular expansions inside
of it.
Got
it. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I think it's still on Kickstarter. Rurik, Dawn of Kiev, Kickstarter, professional, dude. I was just looking at it yesterday, actually. Oh, here it is. Yeah, Stone and Blade.
You did it.
I did it. Look at that. 12 days to go. Yep. So about a week when this comes out in audio form. Super fun. Would definitely recommend checking out. Even if you just want to get the base game, I feel like there's enough game there. And then Stone and Blade just really makes it into like a solid stay from what I'm hearing.
Okay.
All the big like reviewers who have gotten it have said like it's the expansion that fixes all the problems in the game.
What kind of things do you think does it fixes? Or I guess you're gonna have to try it for yourself.
So like I said, I feel like in the last turn you end up with some actions that just kind of throw away and you don't really need them.
Okay.
You know, I feel like the rebels aren't nearly as important as they could be, you know, besides getting the resources, like they just kind of feel like they're in the way.
I gotcha.
And they don't feel like they do anything, you know?
Yeah. They're kind of like the ones in Small World, the little guys that just don't do anything. They're just in the way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I never feel like the conversion tokens do anything.
Yeah. I never use them, but I only played it once.
So. I use them very rarely. And when I do, it's really just to like help fulfill an action. But I think part of that too is like in larger games, you're focusing more on your resources than anything else.
Okay.
So I feel like the more I play this, it's just going to be like, you're going to get a strategy going. Ah. And I feel like you need something to break that up, you know?
Okay. Keep the game fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the only problem I had with the game, and it was a big one, was the dog card does absolutely nothing. That's the only thing.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. You know, you're not a big history buff, so
I didn't want to read about the guy's puppy dog. I wanted to get an ability.
Right. I do wish that there would. I mean, always in these kind of games, right? You want like your leader to do something cool, and I feel like most of them do cool things. I feel like it has the problem of, especially when you're learning the game, you never look at it.
Right.
You never end up using it.
Totally screwed myself over there. I was distracted by the dog card.
Right, exactly. So yeah, Rurik, Dawn of Kiev, would recommend checking out. It is live on Kickstarter. The expansion is out as well. So if you want to get a bundle or just pick up the base game, both or either would be solid investments in my book.
Yeah.
Chris, what else did we play on game day?
We played Folklore, first edition.
Mm-hmm.
And we got our butts kicked.
Yep. We even put in checkpoints into the game that you weren't supposed to.
It still got my butt kicked, yeah. So actually, coincidentally, I am playing that game right now on my dining room table, and all the tokens are in nice, neat, organized piles, Steven. Unlike when we played, just threw them on the floor and rolled in them.
Now the question is when you decide to put it away.
I don't think I'm ever putting it away again. I'll just leave it permanently out. But I am at the last boss and I am like super pumped. Like I have like all my health. I have all these cool items. I think I'm going to beat it this time.
I believe in you.
I say that now and then I'm going to get my butt torn off. But, you know.
You should have been tracking the entire story.
I should have put it online. Read it to the...
Yeah.
I choose this wrong option. But you know how it is, Steven. In that game, everything you choose bites you.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Do this thing that seems like it's totally fine. Oh, just kidding.
I love how like it says you have to try and you have to open this door to continue. And every time you fail, like, well, you stubbed your toe, you broke your hand, you cut yourself.
Folklore was, I think it's better. It's a better solo game than anything else.
I can see that.
I think it's a story experience that's good as a solo game, mm-hmm. Right? Kind of similar to like Mage Knight or Kingdom Death Monster. Like they're games that are meant to be experienced. And unless there's somebody that like, it's like when you play, you know, Fallout, right?
Okay.
Like Fallout, you don't necessarily want to play with anybody else. In fact, sometimes when you just put in the multiplayer, it just ruins Fallout altogether.
Who would have thought? I think 76 people would agree with you.
But I feel that same way with these types of games, right? It's like they're great games, but they're not meant to be played with other people.
I enjoyed playing it with you, though. I felt like I wasn't alone getting my butt kicked.
Oh, sure, sure. But like, I wouldn't enjoy that any more than two.
Right.
You know,
maybe three that like know the game, but teaching it is, and it's clunky. It's a clunky.
Three would be tough. Three would be tough. It would have to be like A, somebody that you're willing to spend like 4 hours with and be upset that you didn't do anything. And then it would have to be people that like you said, like you can't teach it to a group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a group game. It is their problem that they solved was creating a GM-less RPG that you could run by yourself. And that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. It combines, like, I like how it has the traveling, and then it has the skirmishes, just like quick battles, then it has the actual, like, strategic battles, and it has the choose your own adventure stuff. It's just the only problem is everything you choose is bad.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. How do you, well, okay, so I say that. Journeys in Middle Earth, I don't enjoy solo.
Yeah, that's a kind of a different feel, too. It has the same, like, ideas of what I just said. It's just the way they implement it is different. I don't know why. That is strange.
Right?
Huh.
I've tried it solo. It's just not enjoyable to me. And, like, which is weird because it's, like, you know, perfect theme for me. Like, I love the game. Like, I love the mechanics. But, like, playing it solo just feels not good. Hmm. Like, it feels, I don't know if it's because I'm controlling too much or I think it's because, you know what it is? It's probably because there's not as many, like, decisions to be made.
Okay.
Right? Like, it's a lot more of, like, there's a lot more RNGesus happening, especially with, like, the deck of cards and then, like, the random tokens that you're flipping over. That's exactly it. That's gotta be it.
Yeah, there's more.
Because or else it's just, like, I can plan out this whole thing and then I flip over one wrong card and it screws everything
up. Right. Yeah, I can kind of see that. There's a lot more, like, focus on the mechanical part of playing certain aspects of it, and then, but whereas the folklore is like you said, it's 90% this story, and then every time in the story, it's like, try and beat these werewolves, otherwise throw the game in the garbage.
Right, exactly. And that's the other thing too, right, is like, that kind of game, like, takes not a significant amount, but it takes a bit to set up. Right.
Well, if you do it wrong, so, like I did, no, it doesn't take any time at all. You just turn the box upside down.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it's an investment to get going, and it feels bad to be like 45 minutes in and you're dead.
Yeah, it sucks. So we're going to see what happens. I'm going to keep these two characters going the whole way, because at the end of ours, when you die, it just says, well, you suck. Go on to the next quest.
Right. Maybe we're just not meant to play that together.
I don't know. Like I told you, I played it four times before me and you played it, and I died every time. This is the only time I feel good about it, and I think it's luck-based.
Yeah. Are you playing it on an easier mode?
I'm playing it on the way it says in the book, which is, we didn't start with a loadout. I started with a loadout again, and it's significantly better balanced. There's still times where I was close to dying, but I was able to either take a rest or go to a town, and I actually had money to spend.
Right. You weren't butt clenching at every road.
I wasn't dropped naked into this mystical world and sent against three werewolves.
Right.
Did we play someone else after that? I think we did. What did we play?
We played Rurik. We played Folklore.
And then we played some magic. I know that, but was there something else? Or is that when I ate that whole pizza and wanted to die?
Well, we did go to Kogan's. We got a pizza to go and we got a beer. Mm-hmm. Oh, we played Quacks.
That's right. That's what it was. That game's fun. I like it.
That game's super, super fun. God. Everyone I've shown that game, well, that's not true. There's one person I've shown that game to who didn't like it.
Okay.
But everyone else, and that's probably 10 other people I've shown it to, have really enjoyed that game.
Yeah. Push your luck games are always pretty fun.
Yeah, and it's like the bag building stuff is cool, and like everyone can do their own like strategy behind it, which is nice. And the other like really cool thing that I enjoy about it is the catch-up mechanic feels good, except if you've never played before. if you've never played before and you're playing with people who have played before, the catch-up mechanic feels real bad because like when we played,
I thought I was doing pretty good.
I was hanging back.
Mm-hmm.
I was hanging back. I was like, all right, you know, Chris going, I get four or five rat tails every time.
I didn't know what that meant. I thought it was a bad haircut choice, but no, you just almost lapped me.
Oh, God. Could you imagine someone who had five rat tails?
Yes.
It's like they've got a rake on the back of their neck.
Oh, that's so good. I'm going to start that.
Oh, man.
No.
Make Chris dance.
Steven, you got to take that off. It can't just be me that does this.
Nope. Because I am not taking it off until you figure out how to take it off.
Oh, no. I'll never learn. I'll never learn how to take it off. I'm having a seizure. Hooray. I did it.
That is what she said, Purple Moofin. You're right. You're right. Yeah, so Quacks was great. Push your luck, bag building. We didn't play with the witches, right?
No, we just played the base game. Yeah, El Baseo.
I like the witches a lot. They add in like they add three actions that you get to take once per game.
Okay.
Which is really nice. Kind of makes it to where if you're stuck in a place, like, you know, there's one where you can basically put like if you're drawing something, you can put like the last five back and then redraw. There's, I want to say, 9 different actions, and you pick 3 for the game. So, oh. And then of course all the different ingredients have different actions or different, like, they do different things.
Okay,
like there's different ingredient sets that
a different effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I definitely want to try that again. I want to play it. I want to play it at a different player count too. Not that I didn't enjoy 1v1, but it'd be neat to see how it balances around.
Player count doesn't affect it.
Well, right? I guess because you're right.
There's not much that I'm doing to affect you, mm-hmm. right? The only thing that's really like player interaction based are the rat tails. But
I think the other neat thing about that game is there's basically no downtime. You're just all playing. You just mm-hmm. go. In some aspects, I don't like how there's not too much interaction, but I don't really care because I'm constantly doing something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it is to a point multiplayer solitaire, right? But at the same time, you're making decisions based on other people, right?
Yeah.
Like if you explode, you're going to make a decision of, do I want the points or the money based on where everyone else is, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not like a roll and write where it literally is multiplayer solitaire and you're just going for the best score.
Yeah, you do have to pay attention to what combos people are working towards. Like, had I known how it worked, I probably wouldn't let you get all them baby bird skulls or whatever wherever we were doing.
Oh, the moths. Yeah, the moths were killer.
That's right. Yeah, the moths.
So, super fun. I don't know where it fits, but it's. I think it's better than Orleone for me.
Okay.
I think it's probably better than Sorcerer City as well. It's the easiest push your luck game I've been able to teach.
Okay.
I think it's way easier than Sheriff of Nottingham too.
That's a different push your luck. That's more of like a bluffing game.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I do like Sheriff of Nottingham a lot. The only game I can think of that it reminds me of just in the way the push your luck part is working is like Megaland, kinda, but in a much cool, more visual way.
That's probably a good comparison. I think also in Megaland, you're pushing your luck is much more competitive.
That's true. Because you are doing it towards the same level. You need to decide when to do certain right. things. I would put them in the same family and I like them both.
They have upgraded like acrylic tiles that you can get.
Oh my gosh, look at them magic sacks.
Yeah, aren't those cool?
Those are really cool.
Fancy. Those are the ones with the coin protectors. Oh man.
Wait. Are those cardboard things inside of plastic casings?
Yeah, so they're inside of coin cases.
But they look...
I have noticed it. Like, some of the chits are, like, starting to peel away.
Okay, well, yeah. That makes sense.
You put them in the sack, and you're, like, messing them around. Yeah,
you grab the bottom and cough. But they're a weird shape, though. Are they regular coin things, or are they made for this?
No, they're just circles.
Okay, so they just sort of plop around in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotcha.
Hey, Goon Ranch. God, I can't find them now. Of course not. We're like, oh, here they are.
Oh, yeah, those look pretty
cool. They're, like... hard plastic, and so they're in the same shape. So the problem with the coin collector pods is that when you're stacking them next to each other, they end up not lining up perfectly because they're bigger than the shape, mm-hmm. right? And so these are the exact shape, so you get to just add them on there. The problem is that these things are $42.
Oh my gosh!
And that's just the base.
What is the ones second from the bottom on the right? They have like a colored ring around them.
Those are 3D printed.
Oh, they're 3D printed.
So if you wanted to get like a million different colors of
oh gosh
filament,
that sounds like a pain.
You know,
at that point, I'd just spend the $42 to get my right, 8 exactly, years of my life exactly. back.
It's like not worth it's not worth the filament. It's not worth my time.
Right.
You know.
We're right.
So that was Quex. What was that? It right? And we just played
Magic. Yeah. And then I had to die because I ate half Kogan's pizza at once.
Right.
That was a mistake.
Right. Yeah. In one day. Oh. In like one 4-hour session.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh, I'm still shuddering, but it was good.
Oh, Mechanica. We've never talked about Mechanica.
Right.
So you and I didn't get to play it, unfortunately.
I know. We got to play it soon.
Mechanica, I have played now 4 times.
Okay.
It's wonderful. We checked it out at Gen Con last year. It's a factory building game. You're building a factory for robots that definitely aren't going to take over the world.
Probably not. Not evil Roombas.
Not evil Roombas, exactly. Exactly. And so the whole point of the game is you're trying to get the most money, right? The robots have decided that, hey, you make us a bunch of friends and we'll give you all the profits. So you're building factories, you're purchasing tiles to place them down in your factory, and then you're going to run your factory and turn your basic white robots into orange and purple robots to sell them for more money. The really cool thing is the way the market works. So the market, you put your each turn you're going to put tiles in here. You'll decide to purchase tiles during your turn, and at the end you will actually spin this around. And if something is at the two slot and you still decide not to do it, it'll be recycled and it drops down into the box, which I really enjoy. I like how they use the box as the game.
Right.
Right.
It's very satisfying.
Yeah, exactly. So there's not a bunch of extra like packaging you need. There's not a bunch of extra cardboard. It's literally just the box, which is nice. The one thing I don't like about the game is the blueprints. I don't feel like they're sometimes not enticing enough to complete. When I've played it, other people have enjoyed the blueprints, but it kind of feels like it's hard to plan for them, I guess.
You don't want a sentient toilet scrubber? Because that looks pretty awesome.
That does look awesome. And then the other thing I don't like, and this is just a problem with every engine building game out there, is the game ends one turn too early.
You want one more turn to finish up?
Exactly. Yeah. I've house ruled it to where when the game ends, everyone gets to run their factory one last time.
That's fair.
Or else it's like that last turn doesn't matter. Like right. You're buying tiles and stuff, but what's the point?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I'd agree with you there. That game's super fun. I remember when we talked to them about it, they said one thing that was difficult was creating the puzzle pieces, because the puzzle piece machine doesn't make like puzzle pieces that match. That's like not its job. Or something like that.
Yeah. So it's when you have a puzzle, typically it's like a preset thing and you just like push the die down and it cuts everything out. But here they had to create custom dies for all their pieces to be able to get them in there.
Right. They had to fit together.
The other like one house rule thing that we've done, it's not very clear in the rule book if your factory ends at the top and the bottom. Because there's like little keyhole things to where you think it might continue. And so I've played both ways, both where it loops and both where it stops. And I like the looping better.
Oh, really?
You know, if I've got a splitter here, it'll loop around back to the top.
I can see that.
Yeah. So that way it doesn't feel as bad when you're like, you set up like this really cool thing in the middle, but then your bottom can't get up there.
Did you try the app that animates the little tiles for you?
The AR app, yeah.
It's cool. Pretty cool. I wish I wish it did the whole factory. That would be so cool.
Yeah. No, it just does each individual tile. But they do have an app that you can get that will actually teach you the entire game. And if you ever have a question about a tile, you can use the app and it'll tell you exactly what it does, which is really cool.
Very handy.
Purple Muffin says there was a Mars Rover game we played at the Air and Space Museum. I guess you can call it a game at least. Oh, okay. Huh. Mars Rover.
I would have crashed it and died instantly. I am not a space cadet. Mars Rover airbags.
they have a virtual scavenger.
That's cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Want to do that, Chris? Mm.
I'll still end up crashing the lander.
You had a budget and you took turns placing cards? Oh, interesting. I haven't heard of that. That's pretty cool.
Space Force.
Space Force. What else did I play? Oh, Truffle Shuffle.
What is Truffle Shuffle?
Truffle Shuffle.
Is it a Goonies game?
It's like harder. It's different point salad.
Okay.
So point salad is, you know, you've got, you know, you're picking up cards to try and make sets, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in this you have a pyramid, right? And each of these cards are numbered 1 through 5, and there's 4 different sets. And you get points for turning in different sets, kind of like poker, right? So you get a certain number of points for a pair, a certain number of points for 3 of a kind, a certain number of points for a straight,
okay,
etc. And obviously the more of a suit you get, the better. It's very light. It's a good bar game.
Okay.
It's kind of like Seven Wonders Duel light.
It kind of like the tree kind of reminds me of that, or the layout of the cards.
But the cool thing is that there's these special cards. So like this one right here, this number change card. So you can play this when you're collecting a set that will change the number. There's a color change. This equals signs basically copies another card.
Okay.
So there's a whole bunch of like special things you can do. These are the points right here. If you want to turn your head sideways, 1 of each color, 4 of a color, etc. And so you get different points for getting a better set, right? Super fun. I think we actually had a really big discussion about this. So we play this at 4-player. I think that Fluttering Souls is very similar.
Okay.
but I don't feel like Truffle Shuffle beats out Fluttering Souls for me. I do think that if I have four people and I want to play Fluttering Souls, this is a good alternative.
Right, because Fluttering Souls is two only, right?
Two only, yeah. Exactly. So they both have a niche. My biggest problem with this game, and this is my 2021 resolution, it comes in a big box
for a card game,
and it's a deck of cards with even the rules are a deck of cards.
That's so
and
weird.
And it's like why have this big box? I know it's not like a big box.
Yeah, I've definitely had many games where I'm like, why is this the box? It's like we opening up a bag of chips and it's half full.
Right, exactly. There was more plastic in this than there was anything else.
You mentioned Point Salad. Me and Jenny played that at the board game cafe in Waynesboro. And she liked that. That game's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I haven't played it in real life. I've only played it virtually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like Point Salad a lot. I think it's exactly what it is, right? It is Point Salad. Mm-hmm. Like, it is Point Salad the game. You know, you're just collecting vegetables to do different sets, and that's the entire game.
That's it.
I've never played it at you and I played it two player.
I've only played it at two player, but it's fun. It is a good.
I played it at two and four. I liked it at both. I'm terrible at it. But I get tunnel vision. You know, I get like focused on. I get hyper focused on one thing.
Yeah, you got to diversify your salad portfolio, Steven.
Yeah, exactly. Is there anything else big that I played that I want to talk about? We talked about City of the Big Shoulder. I played City of the Big Shoulders.
Did you play it at Cabin Con?
Yeah, we did. Cool. Yep. I think I came in third, I want to say. It's interesting to see how different people play that game and playing it with people that had already played it before.
Okay.
So City of the Big Shoulders is an 18XX game, so it's stock market manipulation. You're playing as bigwigs in the and after the Great Fire of Chicago of 1850
something.
Yeah, exactly. 18XX. And super, super fun game. Really not. I find it's one of the 18XX games that isn't overly complicated.
Right.
There are a lot of rules, but it feels like everything is so compartmentalized into the five different phases where I'm not having to worry about everything at once, right? I can worry about, all right, I'm worrying about buying stocks now.
Right.
And now I'm worrying about upgrading my company. And
it's a game that I understood, and it has money involved. So that should tell you something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you haven't seen it, go check out our YouTube video for City of the Big Shoulders.
It is very fun.
Yeah. Raymond is a great guy.
Great beer choice, too.
Super cool guy. Really, he loves heavy games. So that makes sense that he would make a heavy game himself. Mm-hmm. So,
'tis a good one.
City of the Big Shoulders. And then the one thing I want to talk about before we kind of move on to what's happening in the world is I played Vindication with all the expansions and the custom tiles.
Oh, cool.
Really, really enjoyed it. It's a completely different game.
Okay.
The base game, I feel like once you play it like three or four times, there's like a flow, right? Mm-hmm. And like, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this and I got to do this and I got to do this, right?
Sure.
Like I know I need to get strength so I can upgrade my movement. And then I know that once I upgrade my movement, I'm then going to have to get all my influence to get vindicated and then I'm going to win the game, right? Like that is like what you do. So the additional tiles, you remove tiles from the base set and you're adding in these other tiles because you always play with 19.
Okay.
But the other tiles might do things like there's one where you can teleport.
What?
So you can teleport between tiles.
Oh, cool.
And based on which of the, they're called sacred stones. And if you control one of them, then you can teleport to any region around either of the stones. If you control both of them, you can teleport to any region on the map.
Wowie! That's pretty nuts. Yeah.
It's insane. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. Oh, there's the menagerie where you get pets and your pets are attached to your companions. And they do things like I had a pet that allowed me to use an opponent's relic.
Okay.
So they're a super powerful item. I could use it using their influence instead of mine.
Oh, what? Cool. My pet can't do that.
Maybe you need to train it better.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So that was super fun. I really, really enjoyed it. I think that, again, I think it does make it a completely different game. And I think that going forward, even teaching that game, I think I'm going to play it with some of the more advanced tiles.
Okay. They just make the game more fun.
Yeah, well, it gives it some variety.
Okay.
You know,
I can see that.
There's definitely, like, I won't play with, like, the Mythical Creatures one and the Leaders and Alliances expansion. Like, those, you have to know the game before you can throw those in. But you can easily play with the advanced tiles with no issue. Okay,
it just makes it a little more modular.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
Exactly.
Another game I played recently, because I got it for my birthday, is Mysterium. I played it with Jenny's parents. That game is fun. I've only played it a couple times with you, but playing it again, I'm like, oh yeah, this game, I remember it being fun. I don't understand why there's a shorter version of it now. I mean, I guess I'd have to try it, but the game doesn't take that long.
So the shorter version, I do think, I haven't played it, but from what I've heard, it makes it better. Like, it makes the end feel better.
Yeah, the end is kind of a crapshoot in the in the OG one.
I do think that Obscurio replaces Mysterium for me.
Okay.
I think I just like the art better.
That's fair. It does look pretty cool.
Because it's basically the same game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. You got Mysterium.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. There's a bunch of expansions for it that just add more art and stuff.
Well, there's one that has like story cards or something like that, which looks pretty cool. Lies and something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is. I think we have that expansion.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken. Anywho, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Is it? I think it's Secret and Lies.
Yeah, that's the one. But Obscurio is not the short version of Mysterium, or is it? Is that the same thing?
No. There's a new Mysterium that's a shorter version of Mysterium.
It's not Mysterium Park, is it?
Yeah,
that's it. Oh, that looks really short. Like, I'm just looking at it right now.
I would be interested in trying it. I don't think that's going to be like I'm not going to buy it. No,
if you like Obscurio, I mean, I feel like you've already, you know, you're good to go. How many of these games do you need?
Well, I don't own Obscurio. I've just played
it. Oh, okay.
But I don't think that Mysterium Park, like, I don't enjoy that kind of game enough for it to be like I need to have like a quicker version of it.
Right. The only reason I can think of wanting a quicker version is if different people want to take a different turn being the ghost in the same play session. But even then, I don't know how long I could play it.
Yeah. I like When I Dream for that.
Yeah, that game's pretty fun. I don't understand it, but it's pretty, I did have a good time. Maybe it was just the blindfold.
It's Mysterium.
It's not Mysterium. It's not the same thing.
It's like reverse Mysterium.
It's like, yeah, and I think
that's what does it. You don't like the reverse part?
I guess I don't know. It doesn't feel the same.
I always do it in reverse
with the blindfold on.
Yeah, exactly. Hey guys, welcome back.
Hello.
So that thing that we were talking about at the thing.
It's now
gaming news. So it's been a while. It's been a while since we covered some gaming news.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff happening.
Yes.
Now that we've kind of switched to doing this monthly, there's a lot of stuff that can happen in a month.
Who would have thought it?
And so there's a couple things that we want to just make sure that you're aware of going into September. So first and foremost, something that's very near and dear to my heart is Amazon can now fly drones in America.
What? Yes! We need to joust.
That's right. You heard it here first, guys, unless you heard it last week. The Amazon Prime Air got a request or got a permit from the FAA to be able to make drones for deliveries.
That's exciting.
Their goal is to deliver within 30 minutes of the order being received.
Wowee!
There are very limited inventories that are available, and there are also limited areas that they're able to do it in. Currently, it's in North Carolina, California, and Georgia.
God damn it.
So no plans on, or no announcements of expansions just yet, but that could be really cool.
Could be cool. I do imagine them like dropping off a parcel and then picking me up and like abducting me. That sounds pretty awesome.
What's something that you would order from Amazon that you'd want in 30 minutes?
A pizza? I don't know.
A pizza?
I'm not in a rush that I need an item in 30 minutes, unless it's food, I guess. Beer could be good. It'd be really sweet to be like just sitting in your backyard and you have it on a timer and you just raise your hand and all of a sudden this drone drops a beer in your hand and you just cheers someone mid-swing. That would be the king move right there.
I could see like batteries.
Oh, that's fair.
Being important.
Mm-hmm. Batteries are important.
I could see like you forgot somebody's birthday and you're like, I need to shower, but I also need a present.
Oh, a charger. That sounds good. A charger or like a, like a one of those emergency battery packs ready to go.
Oh, true.
You're in the middle of North Carolina, nowhere, and then you can call a drone in to drop off another battery charger.
I guess like it's like really like anything that would take me longer to drive to the store to get.
Yeah.
You know.
That would be most things. Oh my God, I get so I'm so lazy.
Also in like semi-related business news, Avalon Hill is no longer being managed by Wizards of the Coast.
Really?
And is now going to move to Hasbro.
Oh.
This we've got the batteries for our film shoot.
Calling the drones.
Oh my God, dude! If you combine that with what are those things called? The little buttons.
Oh, the little like tabs, little Amazon tabs.
Yeah,
that you like order something quick. Like I'm out of Tide.
So you hit the button a million times, and there's like four.
There's like an army.
Yeah.
Oh man, I want to order some lewd stuff from Amazon and have them drop it off on your porch.
Well, so you're going to have a pad.
A pad? Like a landing pad?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you'll have a landing pad. I'll send it to you. And you'll just find like some lewd-eyed objects just landing on your porch.
So anyway, so WotC will no longer be managing Avalon Hill. The reason is apparently they're too busy managing Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, those are two big things.
Those are two very big things, yeah. So the biggest concern is just distribution, since most people get Avalon Hill games directly from WotC, and they'll have to go through distributors now for that stuff. But I think the thing that I'm excited about is it being under Hasbro again. There's a lot of opportunity for larger IP deals. There's opportunity as well for like expanding the board game breadth, right? To where it's not just like Betrayal and Axis and Allies.
Sure.
Which they've been producing for like a million years, it seems. I think the only new games they've come out with in the past 5 years have been Betrayal games.
Yeah, and the little crossovers. I find it interesting that like I didn't know how long Avalon Hill has been like a company, and that it was like the OG Dungeons and Dragons holder until before TSR. Yeah. Like that's crazy. Well, apparently I got that like Dungeons and Dragons history book kind of thing. And it talks about how Gygax went to Avalon Hill to get the game sort of started on its publishing. They kind of turned it down after a while, and they just, so he had to create TSR to do it himself.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So they had the, I wonder if they're like, oh, we should have picked that up.
maybe.
But that was in the 70s. So, I mean, who would have thought we'd still be playing it now?
But speaking of Dungeons and Dragons, there are two modules that I'm very excited about.
Ooh.
First one is the Hellboy module.
Oh, cool.
Which is, unfortunately, it's over on Kickstarter. The Pledge Manager will be out soon. But let me tell you, this thing, I think it looks amazing, personally. It's got something like 8 different playable like races. It's got a bunch of different heroes that you can use. The dice look sweet.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I mean, that's just like a thing. But the thing that I really like is I also own the Hellboy board game.
Ah.
And so every single miniature has stats inside of the Hellboy RPG.
Oh, very cool.
Which is cool.
So it's all based on 5e, right?
Yep. It's a 5e module. So it's all, you know, based off 5e. It's just custom classes and characters and stuff like that.
Very cool.
And you can see the character sheet looks similar. It's a little bit different, but it's got the same like dice system behind it. You know, same like action mechanics behind it too. And so it is planning on coming out May of next year.
Ah.
So hopefully they hit that. Mantic is pretty good about hitting these kind of things. And it sounds like they already have all the content created for this. And so it's just going to be producing it.
Okay.
So
they should be on time.
Right. Exactly. I did back it. I got the big boy pledge. So I get
the big boy, the field director.
The field director. Yeah. So I get the whole kit and caboodle.
The enchilada.
I'm a big, big Hellboy fan. So,
oh, that GM screen looks sweet.
Isn't that sweet?
That's very cool. Awesome.
I'm a fan of this.
That bag, the bag is pretty badass too.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was $125 for the whole kit and caboodle. Like I said, it will be on the Pledge Manager as well. And if you just want the book, it's about $40. So
Goon Ranch asks if it's supposed to be played in tandem with the 5e core books, or I've seen games like this where they're kind of standalone-ish. They have all the rules in the one volume.
Yeah, so this has all of the rules in the book. it is based on the 5e system, but everything that you need is inside of the book.
Right. Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Yeah, you could certainly have the 5EV books, but they're not a requirement.
Right, because they probably can only use most SRD stuff, because that's most of the rule set anyway, without the content.
Right,
exactly. And they're making your own content for it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's like the whole thing, right? Like, this is just an alternate theme
right.
for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And I like the 5E system.
Yeah.
I think it's hands down the best one.
I don't know if that's only my opinion. I think that's just how it is.
Yeah, I would argue it's not the best one, but I do enjoy.
You're probably a 3.5 fan.
I'm actually an AD&D fan.
Oh, okay, that's fair. But you don't like Thaco.
I'm a Thaco guy.
I thought you weren't a Thaco guy, but anyway.
No. I like Thaco. I like Thaco, but I don't like how Thaco affects or how Thaco was implemented in AD&D.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, Thaco, when you take AD&D and make it into, like, AD&D 2.5, right, then Thaco makes sense.
Fair enough.
I also feel like Thaco to me, I like Thaco. I feel like Thaco is hard to explain to people.
Yes.
It takes a bigger brain.
To hit armor class 0.
And I don't know. I think it's also, like, if you learn that system, it makes sense, right? But if you learn any other system, it's like...
It seems backwards.
What?
Like...
Right.
From a mechanic of just trying to get out, like, I want to roll high and hit this guy. It just makes so much more sense, and it ties into, like, what video games do, where, like, armor class, you want it as high as possible. Negative armor classes don't make sense to people anymore.
Right. I think what you're thinking of is I played 3.5 a lot.
Okay.
That was our main campaign was 3.5.
Gotcha.
It's easy to go from AD&D to 3.5, but you can't go backwards.
Right, that's fair. I find, like,
it's really hard.
My only thing with 3.5 is everyone got super powerful, super fast. And eventually you're like, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely a lot of homebrewing once you got up there. Mm-hmm. So, but another 5e set, you've seen the miniatures that Steamforge has come out where it's like the dogs and the cats and stuff.
I don't think so. Actually.
You don't think you haven't seen these?
Mm-hmm. Oh, show me.
Okay. So, I was not prepared.
You were not prepared.
There's these guys, right? So there's, like, these are little doggies.
Ah, look at those guys.
So yeah, so the bunch of dogs.
Dungeons and Doggies.
A couple other dog sets come out. They've got a cat set as well.
Are these for, like, what was that, Pupmire? Or just D&D doggos?
No, so these just came out as just, like, miniatures.
Oh, okay. They're different class dogs. That's pretty cute.
And now there are rules for them. Yep. And here are the cats.
Cats and catacombs.
So cats and catacombs, yeah, and dungeons and doggies. But the thing that I like is they've got full-on character sheets, and it's literally they just put it inside of the D&D sheet.
That's great.
Which is cool. And it has its own rule set. But the cool thing, and I don't know if it's on here or not, but they're coming out with a starter set. So it's going to have very similar to the Hellboy one where it's got its own book, right? It's got its own GM screen. It's got, like, maps and stuff. And it's going to come out in November, which will be cool.
Very cute.
Just in time for the holidays. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This doesn't speak to me as much. I don't want to be a dog. You know,
well,
I don't
that was,
be like an animal.
Yeah. When I played Pugmire, it was the same kind of thing. I'm like, it was hard to relate to be a dog all the time. Like, it was cute, but I'm like, I couldn't do a whole campaign. Right. I could do, like, a one shot where I'm a dog.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I could do a one shot, but I couldn't do a whole Jim John. No. Chris, do you know what else Steamforge makes?
No idea.
They make God Tier.
Oh, cool.
They also make the Dark Souls game.
Okay. Is it as hard as the video game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. I thought you had the Dark Souls game.
Oh, I do have the card game. Guess what? It's still in shrink. Oh, no. I'm wrong. I don't have the Dark Souls card game. I have the Bloodborne card game.
Oh, Bloodborne. Yeah. Right. Same thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm all about the, like, you know, the furry life. Like, if that's
really?
What you want to do, okay. You. I'm not going to stop you if that's your thing, uh-huh. You know, but I have no interest in permanently being a dog.
No, mm-mm. You know? I could do it for, like, one quick fun RPG night. This would be fun for an RPG night. It looks like they have, like, adventures and stuff online. We could just run it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do. the here, let me pull this over so you can see it. They've got like a whole, like, again, the GM screen. They've got the book, dice, you know, the whole night, everything you need to get set up for a animal adventure. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense now that they have the miniatures out. A set of polyhedral dice.
Oh,
get out. Is there anything that new exciting coming up for you?
No, I'm still waiting on some of my Kickstarter stuff that I backed a bazillion years ago. But of course, there's been so many delays.
God, dude, yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah, like it's just been like tell me about it. Was supposed to be last April. I got my stuff, and it's still like don't know yet. Not sure yet. Don't know where the boat is.
Here, let us peruse my Kickstarter for a moment. Let's see. Oh, I did.
Get While this. You're perusing that, the one thing that that Monster Party Game reminded me of is what was that game? Growl, which is another kind of party-esque werewolf type game, went on Kickstarter again for $5 for the deck, but it doesn't come with a box.
Yep,
it's just the deck.
Yep.
So I went ahead and picked up a copy because I liked it
at $5.
Yep, mine's on there too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last thing I need is another box.
Yeah, it is really cool. It has an expansion too, right?
Yeah, but that was only. Oh, and then the Muppet. The Muppet.
Yeah, the little like the sock.
Uh huh.
Jesus. Let's see here. Let's scroll back and let's see what hasn't arrived yet. Mass of Darkness still waiting. Nemesis. I just got the promos for that, so no concern there. Pearlbrook, got that. Infinities. Still waiting. July 2019. I don't know if I'll ever see this game. Tidal Blades, Heroes of the Reef, October 2019.
Aye, aye, aye.
Coming on a year. The last update was we're getting close to starting production.
Oh my gosh.
So there's that. Dice Throne Season 1 re-rolled and Dice Throne Adventures, July 2020. Mm. Not happening anytime. Not happening this year.
Oh my gosh.
I did get Gatefall. Dude. The Gatefall minis are as good as you think they
would
be.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
They're gigantic. I posted them on our Instagram. I painted the dwarf guy. That game is so much fun.
Cool.
It's the perfect mishmash of skirmish tabletop game and board game.
Okay.
Super, super fun.
That sounds fun.
Dwellings at Eldervale, still waiting. Everdell, Spirecrest, and Belfair, still waiting. Isopharian Garden, still waiting.
Oh man, that's surprising.
Yeah. Parks expansion is shipping.
Okay.
Monster Care Squad, I just backed that, so no worries there. And all this other stuff is on track. So actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Still, but delays.
Yeah. I've actually gotten a lot in the past like month. It's been like I got Gatefall this month. I got Kingswood this month. I got Fantastic Factories this month. What else did I get? Is that it? I think that's it. Yeah. But yeah, so lots of cool things coming down the pipe. Might be fun to use in a werewolf scenario.
That would be fun to use. I think he's talking about the Dungeons and Doggos.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that could be cool. Purple Movement, I am going to play some games tonight. I think Chris is going to head to bed.
Yes, I've been having a first week back at school scenario, so I'm half here, Purple Movement. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But I think I'm going to play some Sar Movement if you want to play. But we're going to take a quick break and get Chris to bed.
That won't be on the stream, everybody.
it will be. It's on our OnlyFans.
Oh, right. That's right.
But we'll be right back with some Super Animal Royale and end the night on a good foot without Chris here.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Table Hops Podcast. Be sure to visit us at tablehopspodcast.com, leave us an iTunes review, or visit us on social media at Table Hops Podcast.
Be sure to check out our videos on YouTube and email us your feedback and questions to tablehopspodcast@gmail.com.
And remember,
good beers,
good games,
great times!